Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Logunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Thanks for joining me today, Irina.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right, it's great to have you as a guest again. Well, believe it or not, the August coup, the attempted coup that hastened the collapse of the Soviet Union, occurred 30 years ago this week. It began essentially on August 19th, 1991, when a group of plotters who called themselves the State Committee for the State of Emergency, better known by the acronym GKCHP, announced that the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev was sick and that they were now in charge. The coup collapsed within 3 days, but it changed things pretty dramatically, weakening Gorbachev and throwing Boris Yeltsin, who'd been elected president of what was still then the Soviet Republic of Russia, to the fore after he defied the coup plotters and the takeover attempt. Now, 4 months later, Gorbachev resigned as president of the USSR, a country that had ceased to exist. I was actually there at the time, living in Moscow, and I certainly was taken by surprise by the putsch when I woke up that morning. I had no TV or radio in my apartment, and I don't think I read anything in the faces of fellow passengers on the bus into work that morning. So I found out only when I got to the office. Irina, what are your main memories of that day or of those days in what had, until that morning, seemed like a sleepy August 30 years ago?
Well, Steve, you know, I still remember everything as if it was yesterday. And I do remember that horrible morning when my parents actually called me, and father said, "Wake up, there is a military coup in the country." So I switched on the radio and TV, and there was Tchaikovsky's Swan's Lake on TV, and Echo Moscow was broadcasting toy music. And that was really scary, I went to the shower and washed my hair because I told myself that one should face the coup with clean head. And then went to work. And, well, I cannot say that that we didn't expect anything like this to happen because the Gorbachev recovery after the proclamation of independence of Baltic states started to change a little bit, and it kind of went back to the old Soviet style of vocabulary when they were once again agents of influence of the West, threat to national security. So something, we saw that something was going on there. Especially when the Supreme Soviet discussed the agents of influence of the West that threatened the existence of the Soviet Union, and the head of KGB, Kryuchkov, at that time was addressing the Supreme Soviet, the Soviet Parliament, using those words, and didn't face any resistance. And that was, as far as I remember, in June that year. So it was obvious that some forces in the Communist Party and KGB and military wanted to return back to things normal to them, right, rather than to continue with the reforms and with the plan to create the new union instead of the USSR. It was supposed to be a union of independent states, basically the republics with a very broad autonomous status. Mm-hmm. It was expected, but still we didn't expect it to happen that quickly and that very day. You know, we were lucky that the magazine that I worked in, the New Times magazine, is kind of time format magazine. At that time, our editor, former editor in chief, became the spokesman for Gorbachev. And he was not in Moscow at that time. He was in Sochi with his mother. So he called us and actually explained what's going on. So we were kind of a little bit inside of what is going on. But still, it was very scary. And I do remember we were all sitting in editorial room discussing what are we going to do and how are we going to do it and what if we are arrested or our printing house is arrested. Are we going to go with the leaflets? Are we going to cooperate with Moscow Times that were across the street from us and they were already arrested? And at this very moment, guy in a military uniform appeared in the doors of the editorial room, and we were all silent. And all of a sudden, the deputy editor-in-chief looked at him and said, "Welcome." And he smiled, walked in, and said, "I'm here. We are here to defend you if they would want to shut you down." So it was really strange day, but I do remember that, you know, all of us, we were trying to be at the barricades. We were trying to be at the White House, where the building of the parliament, because it gave us sense of community. It gave us sense of freedom. We were not alone, so I kept on traveling from the barricades to the building of the magazine to bring in news. And we did end up publishing leaflets, just printed out the magazine, several pages, and were putting them in the metro or in underground courses.
Right.
And I have to say that by the time you put the fifth page on the wall, somebody would start screaming for the police, which was the militia at that time, for the police, because this is an anti-state propaganda. So even in Moscow, the feelings were pretty complex and not this straightforward.
Right, a different opinion, certainly. You mentioned the crowd at the White House, the Parliament building then, and that those people essentially defending against the coup, and that crowd was very large. And I guess that was a sign that the putsch was collapsing, and also a bad sign for the plotters was their press conference where they kind of announced they were in charge, and Gennady Anayev, who was, I guess, said to be the acting president, he had been the vice president, his hands were shaking, he appeared drunk. So that was kind of a sign that, is this serious, and, how much confidence and how much, clout do these people have? And of course, the coup did collapse in about 3 days. That was kind of the death knell for the Soviet Union. And then December 25th, Gorbachev signed his resignation, and essentially the USSR ceased to exist. Now, I'm not going to preface my second question with a lot of words. I'm just going to ask you, Irina, about what has changed since then, since August 1991, how Russia has developed, and whether what's happened has coincided at all with your own expectations or those of people around you. Obviously, this is a massive subject, but if you could just share a few thoughts, that would be great.
Steve, I think that Russia actually, through evolution of the last 20 years, went back to practices and ideology that the members of VKGB tried to establish in the Soviet Union by force. The West is once again an enemy. There is no dissent allowed in the country. There is no free media anymore. Practically nothing is left. So, no, that's not how I expected the country to develop. We had this feeling of fantastic freedom 30 years ago, and we were really building the new free and democratic state, and that was the belief that we had as young journalists who just started working at that time. And there was a lot of hope that all this is over, that the country will develop in a prosperous state with free institutions. Nothing like this happened. And to some extent, right now, it's even worse than the Soviet Union, that the regime in the Soviet Union, because at that time, at least there were rules that if you break one of the rules, then you know what would happen. Right now, you don't even know what would happen, which law would be applied to you if you break the rules that the Putin's regime is trying to establish. So this is a sad memory and sad, you know, feeling right now.
Yeah, I certainly didn't expect it myself to develop the way it did. One thing I remember, I'll just briefly, is actually before the failed coup was a huge protest in Manege Square outside the Kremlin. It was in January 1991, after the crackdown and the killings in Vilnius, Lithuania, earlier that January. Just, I mean, there were, you know, more than 100,000 people there. And just that kind of thing. I mean, you can have protests now if you're allowed, but there have just been so many restrictions placed on rallies, on gathering, you know, and kind of an onslaught, especially really in the last few months and years, you know, against, you know, dissent and the voicing of dissent. So, you know, that's one thing that's obviously changed in a quite massive way. So I guess I'll leave it at that. We're running out of time. Irina, thanks very much for joining me and, sharing your memories and your thoughts on this.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Great to have you on the podcast again. Okay. I'll be off for a couple weeks now, but the show must go on, and it will go on, courtesy of a special guest host. So please tune in next Monday and the Monday after that. Thanks for listening.